Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Adam, the good news is the Denver Broncos are on a short week. The bad news is the Denver Broncos are on a short week.
That is fair. That is a fair assessment. It's accurate and fair, and that's what I like about you, Ian. You're accurate and you're fair, and I appreciate that.
I mean, what else is there to say?
I
thank God that they play on Thursday, so we don't have to wait until Sunday to what's going to happen in Cleveland.
I honestly sent a text to a buddy of mine. I said, hey, I don't know what you're doing on Sunday, but I'm actually free because the Broncos play on Thursday night. And he's working, so we are golfing on Saturday instead, which is fine. I think the fans need a bye week. And so a little mini bye here with this, you know, we get the game out of the way on Thursday. We'll talk about what we think is going to happen later, but then we can actually go and enjoy what's happening with the rest of the NFL, set our fantasy lineups, place our single game parlays and our, you know,
if you do that,
I may even go for a big parlay and just bet all the games and see if maybe I can get into the news as having like, oh, I just need the Lions to win on Monday night. Maybe I'll get something like that. I know the Lions don't play on Monday. I'm just saying. So
I might do a three game spread teaser.
Sure.
I pick three games that I think teams will cover and that route.
You'll get teased by the first two doing exactly what you want, but then the third one not. I know how teasers work. I've been teased many times. I told you about some of my bets last week. Not a single one hit, and they were just so close. Dang it. Just needed Chase Edmonds to score. That was it. That's all I needed. That was it.
Isn't that the worst, where you get that close, and then it's one leg?
Yep. It's the one legs that bother you. The ones where you miss everything but one, you're like, well, I'm an idiot. But I'm okay
just
with
those.
Just
ask Tony Soprano about the one legs.
Well played. I like that. That was nicely done. I'm gonna bow out after that one. This is a short week. It is a Browns team that is greatly damaged. Can I say that? I feel like that's a fair thing to say.
I mean, the Broncos have injuries. The Browns have injuries. Like, both of their top running backs are out. There's going to be no Chubb Hunt on Thursday. Baker Mayfield has, like, I don't know how. He has one arm.
Sling, yeah, left arm in a sling.
I mean, it sounds like his labrum is completely torn.
Yeah, you don't need your labrum. That's from what I understand, and I don't have a medical degree, that's not an important part of your body, even if you are someone who throws a football for a living.
Well, the good news is he's going against the Broncos pass rush, so he's not going to get hit.
I didn't enjoy that joke because of the accuracy of that one. That one I didn't like.
So that's why Baker Mayfield expects to play, because he knows that, hey, I'm not going to get hit. Fine.
That's the Broncos, right? I should be fine. All right, I'll play. It's totally okay.
I'm going against a defense where they line up their best edge rusher as a slot cornerback. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, really?
All right, let's talk about that. I want to talk about that a little bit, because there's something that's going on right now in Broncos country that I think is a valid concern for this franchise and for the direction of this franchise in 2021. Like, let's just focus on this season. You've got maybe one of the greatest pass rushers in the history of the NFL, and I'm going to give him that, dropping into coverage.
I guess a speed receiver.
I don't care who it's against. I'm just going to say you have the greatest pass rusher in Broncos history. Let's say it that way. Dropping into coverage, Von Miller. And you've got cornerbacks getting torched left and right. Kyle Fuller can't cover himself with a blanket. there's an issue here with this defense that was supposed to be the strength of this football team. And the head coach, who is a defensive mind, who I would love to have as a defensive coordinator, there's an issue here that tells me this goes a lot deeper than just scheme and players injured. So you want to talk about the Browns game, and I think that's sort of the important part of this. You brought up something before we started recording. The Browns are still favored to win this game on Thursday night.
Yeah, and Case Keenum could potentially be the quarterback, and Case, he has no running backs.
Case Keenum, sans running backs, that's French for you if you weren't paying attention, is...
No Chubb Hunt.
We are missing several players for the Browns. They are still favored. That says a lot. That screams turmoil. That screams locker room issues. That screams a coaching staff that has potentially already lost their locker room.
And I think if this game unfolds as we both think it will, and I think most listening to this podcast at this moment thinks it will unfold, the locker room will be lost. Because you can't start a season 3-0 and then look as they have the last three games, like the Broncos have, especially against the Raiders. In that situation, knowing how important the game is, it is a hated rival, it's a division rival, and the greatest coach in the history of the organization, who hates the opponent you're playing, is getting inducted into the Ring of Fame. And that is still how you come out and play and look on the field. I am still embarrassed by it as a fan. As a football fan, I'm disgusted. As a Broncos fan, I'm sick. I mean, I said this to you before we started recording. I think I said it on the post-game podcast. Vic Fangio and his staff got out-coached by a team that doesn't have a head coach.
Yeah, it's not a good look on your resume, right? And I don't know if you know this, but Vic Fangio is putting together his resume because he knows probably more than likely if things don't turn around, he's going to be looking for a job. I will say this, and this is something that I think is really sad and frustrating here. The Broncos have been going through coaches since 2015, which was a wonderful season, in a way that is
so long
it does. It's a lifetime ago at this point. And for some people,
84
it is.
Years.
It's been 84 years. We haven't had to say that in a while. Let me just say this. I wanted Gary Kubiak to be the next great coach of the Denver Broncos and to do things in a way that was, and that didn't work out. And then I wanted Vance Joseph to be that young, hot coach, right? The guy that was going to come in and fire up this team. And all they did was practice well. And that was frustrating.
The next Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for he wasn't. And I was duped. You were duped. I think we bought into it. And then let's just ignore the fact that the Cardinals didn't have a coach on Sunday and Vance Joseph stepped in and did quite well. We'll just ignore that fact because he did well as the Cardinals.
I just got the gif in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that listening to it, but I made the face. I cocked my head to the left because that the gif, he's actually going to the right, but it's a mirror image. It's a whole thing with the smile and the I wanted Vic Fangio to be the guy. I liked the idea of the Broncos bringing in a defensive head coach, making the defense the center of this team, winning games with a defense, and then bringing in an offensive mind for to be the offensive coordinator to create an offense that would be successful. That just felt like the right play at that moment. And it isn't. Sorry. I mean, that's where I am right now. It isn't. It could not be. I'm not in the world of, well, if this isn't going to work out. It's not working out. That's where we are. And I fully believe at this point that the locker room has decided that they don't care what Vic Fangio thinks. And that to me is too bad, because he is a great defensive mind. But the second you start telling Von Miller, hey, we don't want you to rush the passer, Von Miller's going to look at you like, dude, that's what I do. Dropping back into coverage is a surprise when Von Miller does it. And I think back to when Von Miller had an interception on Tom Brady when he was playing for the Patriots in an AFC Championship game. I believe it was the AFC Championship game. Maybe my brain isn't working properly. He surprisingly dropped back into coverage and got an interception. Not it happens five or six times a game, and it's not a surprise because you know he's going to do it. Sorry, you've lost the locker room at this point.
And I think it's just, what is this team going to look like? The odds preview story that I wrote for PlayColorado.com says the Broncos head to Cleveland with more questions than answers, and that's exactly it. And they're searching for answers as they head to Cleveland, and it's the perfect photo of Tim Patrick sitting on the bench with his hands on his face, wondering what the hell is going on. And I think that's the sentiment in all of Broncos country. And I think you brought it up. I think the fact that the line is 3.5 right now at DraftKings, plus 3.5 for the spread, I think the sportsbooks are basically, they're daring people to bet the Broncos. Because when the line first opened, it was 7. And obviously, a large part of this is because Baker Mayfield is hurt, and now Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are out. But the sportsbooks are still basically trying to bait people to bet the Broncos. They're throwing it out there saying, all right, it's 3.5. Because earlier this week it was 4. So they're dropping it to 3.5. I wouldn't be surprised by Thursday morning if it's 3. So they're basically – Johnny Avello, DraftKings, these other sportsbooks are basically trying to lure people to bet the Broncos. I'm not going to do it because I won't bet the Broncos because I don't bet my team because I'm too emotionally invested in it. And the last thing you want is to be emotionally invested in a bet. Speaking of the Sopranos.
Emotional Furio and financial, this. Not a good mix.
As Furio said in The Sopranos, and this is the theme that we have for PlayColorado.com, is bet with your head, not over it. And I can't do that since I'm a Broncos fan. But that's where we are right now. I have no faith in this coaching staff to not be outcoached by who I think is one of the best young coaches in football, in Kevin Stefanski, who has, I think, a decent staff. I don't think it's as good as John Harbaugh's. I think it's probably on par with Mike Tomlin's. Definitely better than a team that doesn't have a head coach. And again, Vic Fangio and his staff just got out-coached by a team that doesn't have a head coach.
Yeah, we actually talked about that a little bit in the post-game recap. We talked about it prior to the game in our preview. The interesting thing about the Raiders, and you actually mentioned this, and I sort of went the other way with it. You talked about how you thought the John Gruden stuff would be a galvanizing force for the Raiders. And I agreed with you, but I thought it would take a week. I really thought the Broncos were going to be the Broncos again. And one of the things that is frustrating for me at this point, like I want to believe, right? I feel like I'm watching the X-Files. I want to believe, you know, I don't believe though. I want to believe in this team, but I don't believe in this team. And those first 3 weeks were this wonderful mirage that we were so excited about, and I got sucked into it. I know you're a little more skeptical than I am, which is maybe why you have fewer gray hairs than I do. My beard is just full of them, and I got pulled in, and now I just feel like I'm being beaten over the head with the fact that I was the idiot that believed in this team. And I got to go back to the issue with Vic Fangio and his coaching staff. He's clearly lost this team. The defense doesn't believe in what Fangio wants to do anymore. You have issues with players not performing as well as they have in the past. Guys like Kyle Fuller, who we were excited about that signing because he knows the system and it's going to be good. Ronald Darby looked bad. Sorry, he looked bad in that game against the Raiders.
After one of the interceptions that Teddy Bridgewater threw, Courtland Sutton runs off the field. Doesn't even attempt to chase after the guy who's
made
the interception.
Weird, right?
What does that say? This is a captain and a leader of the football team who was running off the field after a turnover.
Yeah, that was an interesting. If you didn't see it, the interception took place almost right next to him, and he sort of made it. He made an attempt at kind of making an attempt. That's the way it looked like. He attempted to attempt. It wasn't really a true attempt at making the tackle. Then he just kind of ran towards the sideline, and then the play sort of continued on, and he kind of trailed and then just trailed off. That's exactly the way to explain it, I think. And
which is what this team is doing right
that
now.
That is an apt description of what the Denver Broncos are currently doing. They are trailing off. They are floating away into the distance. And
like a fart in the wind.
Like a fart in the wind. I like that. Oh my
With
goodness.
Serious hang time, because it still stinks.
It smells terrible, but everybody's getting a whiff. That's the idea. So you can all smell it. That is what we're talking about here. We're talking about a team that stopped caring. Offense, defense, special teams. It feels like they look at the coaching staff. They know they're not going to be back next year. They've already figured that out. How many of the players know I'm not going to be back in Denver next year? Now I'm not talking about like mid-level guys that don't matter. I'm talking about major players. There's already talk about, hey, maybe it's time to trade Von Miller because this season's over. Get what you can out of him. That's the greatest pass rush, the greatest pass rusher in Broncos history, and you're talking about trading him because at 3-3, the season's over.
Well, if they lose to the Browns, yes.
But that's where they are right now. They're 3-3, and the conversation is it's probably time to move on from Von Miller. Tim Patrick's going to be gone next year. Bradley Chubb, maybe it's time to see what you can get for him in a trade. You know,
at this point, probably nothing because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's maybe you could get like some medical stuff. He knows a lot about it, I'm sure. The Denver Broncos at this point are a team that is rudderless. They are a team that has no true owner, so they have no true direction. I think we've talked about that more than enough.
Ad nauseum.
You've got Joe Ellis, who's just sort of finishing out his term as leech, and this isn't going to get better. Yeah, I like that one too. This isn't going to get any better anytime soon, unless
the rest of this season.
Well, and let's I'm going to try and throw a positive spin on it. Unless they find their form on Thursday night, there is the potential there, with as banged up as Cleveland is. Maybe Pat Shurmur makes some adjustments and goes back to what they were doing in weeks 1, 2, and 3, because the offense looks a million times different, right? There's just so many things that they could do differently. Just go back to the way you called games in week 1, week 2, and week 3. It would be that simple for the offense, I think.
Problem is you're not playing defenses. I mean, I get it. The Jets have a good defense. It's not on par with the Browns defense.
That's fair.
So I guess
my thought is if you can pull out a win here, now you're sitting at 4-3, not 3-4. You've got the mini bye. That's a time to regroup, right? It's a time for the team to sort of get a little refreshed. Maybe
Washington football team comes to town.
Yeah,
Peyton Manning getting inducted into the Ring of Fame.
I mean, maybe you turn things around. Maybe there's a thing. Although, you just brought up Peyton Manning being inducted into the Ring of Fame, and I've got a question for you about that. Does it really matter to the players? And I mean that seriously. Think about what just happened with the Raiders. Think about all of the induction ceremonies and whatnot. If I'm a player on the football field, I know that I'm supposed to be pumped up about that or whatever, but I'm also like, I'm playing a football game and I'm pretty busy and it's halftime. What do I care about halftime? I'm trying to get prepared for the second half. I don't care what's going on the field while I'm in the locker room getting ready. Does it really matter to the players that are currently playing what is happening ceremonially at halftime?
Yes, because I think they actually know who Peyton Manning is. I don't think most of the players had any clue who Mike Shanahan was.
So it depends on if they're friends or not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's think about it. Mike Shanahan hasn't been the coach of the Broncos for, what, 13 years?
Yeah,
has was it 08?
Maybe it was 84 years. Maybe we should go back to that. It's been 84 years. I think it was 08, yeah.
So most of those guys probably don't even know that he was the head coach of this football team because they were probably all kids when they were watching it.
Some of them might not have even been alive.
I mean, the last that people probably remember Mike Shanahan is when he was coaching the Washington football team. So
maybe that's when they should have. Maybe they should have honored him when they played the Washington football team. Maybe that would have been the better play, just to sort of get that bad taste out of his mouth. Maybe just a thought there.
But I do think that players know who Peyton Manning is. Like, they know he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He's going to be in the building. Yeah, I think they're going to want to play up.
I would hope so. I would hope so.
I thought that they would do that against the Raiders.
That was the thought, and it didn't happen. So I guess that's a ways
fool
away.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. I know I didn't say that right. I was trying to mimic George W. Bush.
Yeah, when you're fooled, you can't get fooled again. Is the idea? That's the saying in Texas that they also had in Tennessee.
Wow, that's with Texas.
Man, that was a deep dive into some old school George W. Bush stuff. That was kind of fun.
Well, we get the chance to quote Will Ferrell. They got to have some strategery on Thursday.
That is one of the keys to the game. And I think, you know what, let's do that. Let's jump into the keys, right? Let's talk about the keys to the game a little bit. And I think strategery is certainly one of them. What is your key to the game?
Do your job. From the coaches to the players, this needs to happen on Thursday. It hasn't happened the last 3 weeks. The coaches have been outcoached and out-game planned. I don't need to say that again. The players look ill-prepared and lifeless. For any of this to change, each member of the Broncos needs to do their damn job. Take care of your responsibility, and that should foster others to do the same. It may not help you win, but at least you'll look like you want to be on the field.
Yeah, a little fight would be something I'd like to see. I'm going to go back to something we've been saying for a long time now, and it has to do with the defense. The defense has to be so good that they only give up 20 points or less. That's the number. I think 19 is a good number there, even, right? The number is 19. If the Browns get over 19, the game is over. But I'll even stretch it to 20 just to be fair. I think the defense has to be a million times better. I don't think it matters what the play calling is for the offense or whatever the execution is for the offense, because you can complain about both of those. The defense has to do their job better. And you just talked about doing their job, right? Everybody top to bottom has got to do their job. That was the expectation for this defense. The expectation for this defense was that it was going to be so good that they were going to hold teams to 20 points. Okay, well, let's see it. And quite frankly, if you can't hold this Cleveland Browns team with a half-dead Baker Mayfield and zero running backs to less than 20 points, then you probably don't deserve to be in the NFL, and things need to change. So to me, that's the key to the game. I'd also like to see some turnovers, because that's one way that you hold
teams.
What
are those?
Yeah, we don't really experience those anymore in Denver, but that is when the offense gives the ball to the defense by accident, generally speaking, and then that allows that defense to then get off the field, and their team's offense can then take the field and potentially score some points. So for those of you who didn't know what a turnover was, that's what that is. I'm not talking about an apple turnover, even if that does sound delicious. So you have to create turnovers to win football games. The old saying of defense wins championships is actually false. Defense that create turnovers, defenses that actually turn the ball over, those are the defenses that win championships. This Broncos team is not turning the ball over, so they're not winning games. They've got to create turnovers. That's how they're going to hold the Browns to less than 20 points, and that's how they win the game. That's my key to the game.
You mentioned the defense, and it's a specific part of the defense. I'll mention it again. Everyone talked about how good this secondary was going to be for the Broncos. And as I said in my preview story at playcolorado.com, this secondary has been shredded finer than fresh Parmesan.
That's fair.
And now they're going to go against a hobbled Baker Mayfield with, I mean, Odell Beckham is like, what, 50 years old now? At least that's what he looks like. Jarvis Landry, I think, is still hurt. I don't know if he's going to be active. David Njoku, I think, is their tight end. I mean, I don't even know their weapons in Cleveland.
Who are you throwing to? Who are you handing to? Odell Beckham? Is he still a thing? Jarvis Landry, is he a thing?
So, I'm with you. I mean, if the defense can't show up in Cleveland on Thursday against this Browns offense, the thing that is going to be something to keep an eye on is, yes, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are out, but the Cleveland Browns still have that great offensive line, and they still come into the game first in the league in rushing yards per game at 168.5.
Wow. Can I take issue with your shredded Parmesan analogy? Just because I'm sure. Sitting here thinking about it. Parmesan is delicious.
And the secondary is not.
The secondary is not. I just want to make sure that we understand. Shredded Parmesan
is... It's like molded, kind of aged.
Left in the back of the refrigerator for 15 years, and now it's just a rock. Like, I'm fine with that. But just let's just remember, real good shredded Parmesan or Parmigiano is delicious. This secondary, it's not even close.
Quick tangent. I mentioned The Sopranos a couple of times on this show. My wife and I are rewatching it. Is it common knowledge for Italians to refer to sauce as gravy?
No, that's a regional thing. So I grew up in Colorado, as you know, and we called it sauce because in Italian, it's salsa. Salsa in Italian means sauce. So that's what we called it, sauce. The only people who call it gravy are East Coast Italians, and there's a lot of them, and that's fine, and you're welcome to call it that. But they call it gravy because of, and I don't want to mess up the story, but it has to do with the way that food was prepared on the East Coast. Because gravy is not what a red sauce is. Red sauce is tomatoes, and it's like a fresh sort of sauce. Whereas gravy is more of a sloppy, like it's from meat juice and things like that. That's not really the same thing. But
we're going to see a lot of meat juice on Thursday.
Italian Americans, though, for whatever reason, and it's not just because of what they call, but it has to do with like trying to fit in, and this is what people know it as, blah blah blah. Italian Americans on the East Coast call it gravy. Anybody, and quite frankly, if I can be pretentious here, anybody who calls it gravy doesn't really know what they're talking about. I've never once in my life called it gravy in a serious manner, because it isn't. And I've lived in Europe. I've been over there. They don't call it gravy because it's not gravy. Gravy is what you get when fat from the meat drips off and creates a pool, and you put a little, some sort of like flour or something in there, and you create a gravy out of that. That's not what tomato sauce is. So knock it off. That's my rant of the day.
Get off your soapbox about gravy.
up on my high horse. Man, that guy's nose must be so high up in the air right now. I'm just saying, it's sauce. Salsa. Ridiculous.
To get back to the game, Tim Lynch actually had a great key to the game, and that's a self-aware Pat Shurmur. And I won't read the whole key to the game that Tim put forth, but he said, for a season and a half, the Pat Shurmur system has been an abject failure on all counts. He talks of the need to, quote, keep grinding, but what is needed is a complete change in philosophy. Tim would like to see Shurmur become self-aware that what he is doing is failing and to adapt. It isn't the players failing to execute at this point, as we have seen multiple starting quarterbacks and plenty of different starters elsewhere. It is a failure to adapt that is killing the offense, and that falls on Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, that's a really, really good way to look at it. Self-awareness is one of those things that we talk about as a teacher. We talk about it a little bit with our students, about being self-aware of what's going on around you and how you are impacting your current situation and how you are the only one who can control what is happening to you, right? You are the only one who can control the things that, that you do. So if you do what you are supposed to do, then you'll be fine. Because only you can control you, right? You can't control me. I can't control you, but you can control you. And that is the key. And I think that's a perfect sort of scenario there. Pat Shurmur needs to control himself and run the football. That's what he needs to do. And I would love to see, you know what I would love? If Teddy Bridgewater would become Pat Shurmur's self-awareness and start checking out of some of these pass plays and just check to a run. Hey, you know what? We're going to audible here, boys, because I'm tired of throwing the football. My shoulder's sore. 49 passes? That's what they did against the Raiders. 49. It's too many. That's too many. All right. That was our keys to the game. Wasn't it fun?
No, not really.
No, it wasn't. All right, players to watch. Let's jump into it. Offensive side of the football first. Why not? Go for it. I don't even know that I have anybody.
Garrett Bowles and Bobby Massey. Mm. Because they're going to be going against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Based on what the Raiders just did, you touched on it. They had an edge rusher get 3.5 sacks. His name is escaping me. I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, I can't remember it either. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what his name is because he sacked Teddy Bridgewater 3 times. And quite frankly, you just mentioned Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. No wonder Teddy Bridgewater was limping into the Pat Bowlen Fieldhouse. He was probably
Max
trying to...
Max Crosby.
There it is. I was thinking, here's what I'll tell you. I was thinking Mason Crosby, and I knew that wasn't right because that's a kicker. And so I wasn't going to say a word. But I imagine Max he was Crosby. Limping so that he could maybe get out of this. Oh, coach, my leg hurts a little bit. I don't know. Yeah, because I don't want to get beat up like I did. Max Crosby kicked my butt. So what's Myles Garrett going to do to me?
Or Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, Max Crosby is a great pass rusher. The way he, especially in that opener against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, that defensive line played incredibly well against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Probably an underrated unit as far as units go in the NFL.
But Crosby and that front is not on the same level as the Browns, and especially Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. So what is Pat Shurmur going to do? We've talked about heavy sets. I mean, if you're going to go 3 wide against this defense and you're going to have one-on-one Garrett Bowles and Myles Garrett and Bobby Massey and Jadeveon Clowney, and you're not going to go a heavy set and have, I mean, not that Noah Fant is much of a blocker anyway at this point, but
you got other tight ends.
They have to get some help. Or if you go 3 wide again.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. That's a really good players to watch. I'm gonna continue with that, and I'm gonna just go a little bit more on the inside and Graham Glasgow and Dalton Risner. I mean, the interior offensive line has been not great either. So it's the entire offensive line if you really think about it.
Yeah, and as cliche as it is,
it is cliche. And here's the thing that I think we are, and I don't want to harp on it too much. I think that what we have discovered here is that Pat Shurmur has never really done anything to put his guys in a position to be successful. And that is the self-awareness that Tim is talking about. And it is something that has to change or else he's, and what does Pat Shurmur care? To be quite honest, he's going to move on to another team and be the offensive coordinator somewhere else anyway. So be gone. You know, that's what's going to happen. The issue is that it leaves this team in shambles. So, you know, hopefully Dalton Risner and Graham Glasgow can step up. Lloyd Cushenberry can step up and have an impact. But this offensive line is going to need to be better for them to pull out a win. Defensively, you got a player to watch?
I'm going to say the whole defense.
Just blanket defense.
I mean, I don't, Justin Simmons has been awful this season. The secondary has been horrible. Now they don't have any linebackers. I mean, you have Alexander Johnson with a torn pec, Josie Jewell with a torn pec. Where the hell has Von Miller been? I mean, he comes out and says, I don't know who the left tackle or I don't know the tackle I'm facing, but I'm going to kill him. Well, you better do it now, or I mean, where is everybody?
That's a
so
good question.
So I'm going to say the whole defense.
They must be fixing up their resumes as well. I'm gonna go a little more specific. I'm going to go with the defensive line. And specifically, we'll talk about Shelby Harris and Draymond Jones and whoever else you want to throw in the Deshaun
Mike
Williams.
Purcell, Mike Purcell, Deshaun Williams.
They have to get more of a push up front. They have to stop the run, and they have to somehow disrupt the quarterback, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum or Kevin Stefanski himself. I don't care. They have to do something. No, knowing that the Cleveland Browns don't have any running backs, everybody is hurt. Knowing that Baker Mayfield is hurt, so you're either going to play a hurt Baker Mayfield or a healthy Case Keenum, which is the same thing. You have to do something, and they haven't done anything. This is another one of those, this is going to be a strength of the team moments. The defensive line, along with the secondary, along with the rest of the defense, was supposed to be a strength of the team. They haven't been very strong recently. It's been a bit of a frustrating last 3 weeks. Maybe use the Browns as an opportunity to fix some stuff. Or don't. I don't know. But that's my defensive players to watch. I'm so frustrated.
Well, I said this in my betting preview at playcolorado.com. Cheap plug to go to Mick Foley's Cheap Pop. This is a tipping point in the season. And if this team loses to Case Keenum or to a hobbled Baker Mayfield, they're not going to get up.
No, just start the 10 count, but it's already over for sure, for sure. All right, let's throw out our predictions. Let's go ahead and do it. We actually, I think we, because I know what you're going to say and I know what I'm going to say. I don't know how it happened because I wasn't paying attention to anybody else, but I think we have the same prediction.
We actually have the same score.
Oh my goodness.
We do.
Okay.
I mean, based on what the Broncos offensive and defensive lines just looked like against the Raiders, I don't have high hopes for Thursday night. As I mentioned, Garrett Bowles and Bobby Massey will attempt to block Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. And while Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are out, that's still a good offensive line, as I mentioned, that will face a defense that is without its top two linebackers. As you have said repeatedly, I want to give Vic Fangio and this coaching staff and this Broncos team the benefit of the doubt. But again, he just got out-coached by a team without a effing head coach. 27-17 Browns.
Yeah, that's fair. And you just said it. I do. I want to believe in this team. I was so excited after the first 3 weeks because I thought maybe, just maybe, right? And I was against my better judgment, sort of even outside of the tempered zone of excitement. And we talked about it earlier. I want Vic Fangio to be a great head coach, but his defense has been bad. The defense has been bad. And the three teams that they beat were three bad teams. The Browns aren't a bad team. They're banged up. They've got injuries. They've got some question marks, but they're not a bad team.
They've lost two close games.
To the
Chargers and the Cardinals.
It's not like they lost to teams that are bad. They played two close games against two very good teams. And I can't believe I have to say that about the Cardinals and the Chargers. And if you grew up in the 80s, you know how frustrating that sounds. The issue is Pat Shurmur. Again, I go back to it. It's Pat Shurmur and his play calls and what he does with the offense. And he was good in the first 3 weeks. And we talked about him becoming self-aware. I don't believe that's going to happen. I am selling on this team right now. 27-17 Browns. And I'm shocked that we had the same number. I'm not shocked that we had the same outcome. It made perfect sense to me. All right.
And I hope I'm wrong. I mean, last week for the Raiders game, I said I had a bad feeling about it because I knew that the Raiders were going to come together and use that as a motivational factor, a unifying factor. And I had a bad feeling that the Broncos were just going to lay an egg, and they didn't lay an egg. It was a rotten egg.
That egg was spoiled from the moment it left whatever orifice it left. All right, let's do this. Let's hope that somebody finds some bad Vic Fangio emails while we take a quick break. When we come back, we will do our whip around the league, look at the AFC West, and then we'll say go Broncos. All right, Ian, let's start by taking a look at, obviously we always start by taking a look at the AFC West, so we'll do that right off the bat. Because the Chiefs play the Titans in a game that I think is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the week. Because as you said before we started, the Chiefs defense is so bad, we may see some really fun stuff out of Derrick Henry.
I mean, I think the only person who could tackle Derrick Henry is Andy Reid. Because yeah, I think he's the only one big enough. I
think he would just absorb him. Like, it would just be an absorption thing. Not so much as a tackle. It was just like Derrick Henry would just absorb into his body.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Yeah, like, exactly. That's kind of where I was going with that. If I am a Derrick Henry owner in fantasy football this week, I know...
Or a prop better,
sure. Go for it. I know I'm winning this week. I know that this is a week I go into feeling very confident, because I think I'm going to get 30 to 40 points out of one of my running backs. That usually means a victory.
And then the other one is the Eagles and the Raiders. And, I mean, Vegas is going to be Philly West. I mean, you touched on it before we started recording, because Vegas is a destination city. And especially at this time of year where it's not 115 degrees and you can actually walk down the strip and not sweat your balls off.
This or is whatever body your, part you might
whatever
sweat
body
off,
part. Your choice. Yeah. Women don't have balls, unless I'm not going to go.
Let's
there.
Just yeah, we'll leave that alone.
But yeah, there's going to be a lot of Philly fans in Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is a destination city. Just like Arizona teams, teams go to Arizona. Their fans follow, especially Midwest. The Midwesterners love Arizona. Absolutely love it.
They
love the dry heat. You know, it's not the heat that'll kill you. It's the humidity. All right. And I'm going to tell you right now, as someone who lives in that humidity, there's some validity to the humidity being the thing that will kill you. I can't believe I decided to rhyme that. Like I heard it and I ran with it. And I realized after I got done running with it, I should have fumbled. I should have let it go. I never should have picked that up. But instead, I ran with it. And this is where we are. This is the world we live in. But no, destination cities are a big draw. That's why when the Chargers were in San Diego, you brought that up. Dude, everybody wants to go to San Diego. I would love to go to San Diego. San Diego's amazing. As Peyton Manning said in that one commercial, the weather here is sweet.
It is.
It just is.
Can you imagine being a weatherman in San Diego?
I mean, you have to find other things to talk about. 72 and sunny. And back to you.
Brick Tamblyn. I do think the Titans will beat the Chiefs, because I get it. Patrick Mahomes and that offense is high powered. They can move the ball at will. But I even think the Titans can lock down Tyreek Hill.
Unlike
the law enforcement.
It's a little feisty in here today. I think the Raiders get a little fired up.
And I think the Raiders beat the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles are not a team that I think the Raiders will have a problem with. I think that they are going – the Raiders are going to be a team that sort of rallies around what happened to them, which I hate saying. And they'll win some games that maybe we wouldn't have thought they were going to win. This is not one of those games. This is a game that I think we probably thought they were going to win prior to all of the ridiculousness and whatnot that's been going on. And the Chargers are on a bye, so we don't have to worry about them. Is there another game that's sticking out to you, or anything else that's going on this week in Week 7 that sort of stands out?
To me, what Lamar Jackson is doing with the Baltimore Ravens, where he literally has nothing around him. I mean,
talk about injuries.
Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins. I mean, he has a great tight end. I will absolutely give him that. One of the best tight ends in football.
Yeah, Mark Andrews is good.
But, yeah, you talk about Latavius Murray is his top running back right now.
Who's
still a good running
still
back.
Still been doing well.
But he wasn't going to be active.
He was just going to be wearing like a Ravens jumpsuit, right? Like that was his role. Now all of a sudden he's their RB1.
And they're 5-1. They are the best team in the AFC right now.
I mean,
now.
They did get to play the Broncos, so let's, you know.
And then I brought this up to you. There are three games that are very interesting to me as someone who is in the sports betting industry. Three games with massive spreads. Lions at the Rams, Bears at Buccaneers, Texans at Cardinals. At DraftKings, the current spread in those games is 14.5 for the Lions and the Rams. For the Bears and Buccaneers, it's 12.5. And then the Texans and the Cardinals is a massive 17.5. Would you bet the spread in any of those games?
Wow, that's a great question. No. Like, for all of them, the answer is no. No, that's not true. Maybe the Buccaneers. The spread on the Buccaneers was 12.5, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it is, because it's less than two touchdowns, and it's less than a touchdown and a field goal.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the market is good enough that you could jump on that spread for the Buccaneers.
I might go take that bet when we get done recording here. I think that's the one I would bet, and here's why. The rookie quarterback situation, the Bears offense is sort of hit or miss. The Buccaneers defense is phenomenal, and Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, which I hate saying, but it is the truth. I do think that this is a game where the Buccaneers probably are going to get a blowout win. I think 12.5 is certainly one that I'm comfortable with that number. I would take that. Whereas like the Lions and Rams, you don't know what you're going to get from the Rams each week. You believe you're going to get a solid offensive performance. You're probably going to get good defense. I mean, you know what that is going to be. So you're not 100% sure what the scoring is going to be. You know the Rams are going to win that game. I mean, you would feel confident in that. But a spread, I believe you said that one was 13.5. Am I right about
14
that?
14.5.
14.5. See, that even makes it even bigger. Because that's more than two touchdowns. That's two touchdowns and a field goal kind of thing. I can't quite go that far. And then what was the other one?
Texans-Cardinals. 17.5.
That's just such a big number at 17.5.
That's two touchdowns.
It's four scores.
You would have to have 20 points.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
So I think I would, I lean towards definitely the Bucks and the Bears. To me, that's a good market because it's under 13. I still think Lions Rams because Stafford's going against his old team. It's in LA.
But Jared Goff is going against his old team.
I do think the Rams and Lions, I think the Rams can beat by at least 17 points. I think that's where I think I'm at on that one. The Texans and the Cardinals though. I mean, what I will say is a couple weeks ago, the Bills had a same kind of spread, and I think they shut out the Texans and won like 40-0. And this game is in Phoenix.
There's that. That is true.
I will say if you keep an eye on it though, because if either of those Rams Cardinals spreads drop, like if it gets under 14, so it's like 13.5, I would jump on that for the Rams. Cardinals, I'm still iffy on it because that's just such a giant number.
Yeah, huge. It's just a lot. You know what? You know me.
Here's
what I'll tell you.
Not over it.
And also, if you just heard me give you any advice, just do the opposite because you know I'm going to screw it up anyway.
Exactly. Take it for what it's worth. It, I call it wagertainment. I think I've said that before. Have a limit in mind. Have fun. I will say, as someone who has started doing it, it definitely changes the way you watch and root for games. It's kind of like fantasy football in that sense.
Yeah, and then also plan your trip to Vegas. Go have fun.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.